Priests are perfect, right? And religious sisters as well, of course. And bishops and popes, no sins whatsoever. You know, despite what we hear a lot in the media and all the things that the news tries to present to us, as Catholics, we still tend to make this assumption of these people, these humans, because we want heroes in our lives. However, Maria Sima tells us that priests, sisters, and popes and bishops are just like us, sinful people in purgatory. Learn more about this in today's video. Please join me in a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, welcome to the channel Uniquely Mary. If you love these videos, hit the like button, hit the notification bell so that you can know whenever we put out a video. It is always a pleasure to serve you, and here we explore all types of topics. Specifically, we've been focusing a lot on the Blessed Mother and the Souls in Purgatory, one of my favorite books that I've loved for so many years, the book Get Us Out of Here. We've been working chapter by chapter, learning everything that Maria Sima has to teach us. She, may her soul rest in peace, passed away about 10 years ago, but we have her right here, this interview that's been so awesome to read. And every time I read it, no matter how many times I do it, I always learn so much. Well, so today's topic is so important because priests and religious sisters and bishops and popes, they're at the center of our faith. We learn from them, we receive the sacraments from them, we benefit from their prayers, but so often we don't help them. We don't know the best way to really be of assistance to them. We go and we receive, but how can we give back? So in this chapter, she explores their sinfulness, the fact that some of them are in purgatory, some of them are in hell. So we need to take seriously our role as lay people to love our shepherds, to pray for our religious sisters, especially for the Pope. And this today's chapter will help us do that. So just a few questions that she brings out. First one, when priests in purgatory have come to you, who then takes care of the prayers or whatever else is needed for them to be delivered? Her answer is short. She says priests must then take care of the prayers they require, but if there is anything else, I take it upon myself. What does she mean? Because that's kind of a cryptic answer. Well, in a previous chapter, she talks about that some souls in purgatory we cannot pray for until they reach a certain level of purification, that God wills for them to do the purification themselves before they can receive our own prayers. Now, that's something that, you know, I didn't know, but if you think about it, it makes sense, because sometimes God simply wants you to go through the suffering or the trial that you must go through before people can assist you. It's for your own personal growth. And this is true, apparently, from what she's saying of priests. They go through a certain period where they have to be purified on their own. It's just the thing that they have to go through, and then our prayers can assist them. Another question, can we presume that sisters too are in purgatory? And she answers yes. And for them, it is mostly the lack of humility, lack of modesty, and disobedience that put them there. So these are faults that religious sisters can fall into. So that we can conclude from that, how can we pray for religious sisters? You have the answer right here. Pray for religious sisters to have more humility, more modesty, and obedience to their superiors. All of those are difficult for us to do. Why would it be any easier for them? Therefore, we should pray intensely, especially any religious sisters that you know, that they may be humble, modest, and obedient to their religious superiors, their spiritual bosses, basically. And the next question, and what about priests going to hell? You know, have you ever wondered that? Can a priest go to hell? They're so close to God in the Mass. They seem so holy with their vestments, the way that they preach. Do they have any faults whatsoever? She says, just a short while ago, I had a priest here who with me who had recently been very ill. Over several decades, he had been in and out of hospitals and three times came very near to death. During his latest illness, he came very close to death, and there in his agony, he had a vision of priests falling into hell like snowflakes. This shocked him so badly and caused him to cry for weeks. It took a long time for him to recover from this vision alone. Now, sometimes among the faithful, there are those that think themselves better than others and say, of course there's priests in hell because they don't do this, this, and this. Now, notice the priest's reaction. He cried for weeks. He felt compassion for what he saw, and presumably he chose to do something about it, both his own conversion, but presumably he offered many masses and prayed a lot more for priests that they may not go to hell. And we've never had the experience, I'm presuming you've never had the experience of seeing hell, but when you read of the experience of the saints, the children of Fatima, Saint John Bosco, and many other saints who've seen hell, it's never something that we would wish upon even our greatest enemy. If we saw hell, we wouldn't even want for Hitler to have gone there. We don't know where he is, but many people presume where he is. We wouldn't want our enemies, let alone our friends or our priests who serve us in many ways. Yet the devil is there tempting them. We can be a shield for them. We can be armor for them through our prayers and our sacrifices, especially by the very mass that they offer for us, offer it back for them. So easy, where they're in mass, offer your communion, both for the souls in purgatory and for the protection of the priest who's offering the mass. She continues, have concerned relatives or friends of deceased priests come to you to find out whether or not they were saved due to their, how should I say, perhaps different and worrisome behavior? Yes, that happened a while back, she responds. A couple from the Alsace part of France came to me because of a priest they had known. He had been badly disturbed for quite a while, and one day in a rage, he threw a Sacred Heart of Jesus statue out of his church, smashing it. Soon thereafter, he committed suicide, and these understandably worried people came to me to find out where he had ended up. It turned out he was saved after all, but in very deep purgatory, not yet to be delivered. Now, this priest's behavior is obviously disturbing, but we don't know why he was doing those things. Maybe he had a terrible upbringing. Maybe he had things that happened to him in seminary. Maybe he had a mental illness. But for whatever the reason, he was saved. God had mercy on his soul. Praise God, that God may also have that same mercy on us and on any other priests that fall into sin. But it impels us and should impels us to pray for priests, to know that maybe even more than us, they fall under weakness because so much is expected of them. So many burdens are put in them that if they do have cracks or weaknesses, they're exposed even more so than if you're just a regular layperson. You know, often in the U.S. in the last 10 years, we've seen many different things happen to priests. Instead of allowing that to scandalize us or hate them or scorn them or scoff at them and say, yeah, I knew that was going to happen to him. I'm so much holier than that. Maybe we should have compassion on those priests and pray for them. The season of Lent, we're in it. Why don't you fast for a priest that you love? Or better yet, why don't you fast for a priest that you dislike? That would be an amazing thing. Mention in your comments down below, maybe any other ideas of how we can better support and help the priests that serve us. You put great emphasis in trusting the Virgin Mary to lead people to Jesus. Have you seen any difference, therefore, between Marian priests and those who have become, as you say, modern and have thereby left her out of the picture? Oh yes, I can discern a Marian priest quickly. They are far more gentle, humble, penitential, loving, and protective than the others are. In their humility, they become strong, and in their strength, their fruits become far clearer than those priests who operate without her. They also have fewer problems with celibacy, and with Our Lady at their side, come to experience the enormous graces that come with celibacy. It is she who, with our help, steps on Satan's head. This, again, is not mere symbolism, it is fact. Satan runs from her and from her priests. Marian priests and the Marian army of lay people, us, around them will, in the end, save humanity, and nothing short of that. So here is both an answer and information for us. So she's telling us that priests who love the Blessed Mother are so much more effective in their ministry. And many of us could have known that, but what information can it give us that we need to pray to the Blessed Mother to touch the hearts of all priests, that all priests fall deeply in love with her? Maybe there's a priest in your life that doesn't love the Blessed Mother because God wants you to be the instrument of prayer for that priest. God wants to give you the opportunity to pray for that priest to love the Blessed Mother. You know, there's a story of St. Francis that I always remember, and this is from his book, Little Flowers of St. Francis, which is an amazing book if you've never read it, and it's so awesome. Well, in the book, he has one of the friars that comes to him, and that friar is in agony because he hates begging. And the Franciscans, when they were founded, were basically like homeless people that begged. And that was very difficult for him, for his pride. And to instruct him and console him, he said, "Brother, do you not realize that when you beg and you offer someone an opportunity for charity, it is you who is giving gold to them, because that charity that they do is merit for them in heaven. So although it seems as if they're giving you gold, you are the one offering them an opportunity for charity. Likewise, if there's a priest that you know that does not love the Blessed Mother, that's an opportunity for you to pray for them to love the Blessed Mother. What an opportunity. Can you imagine if you were to pray and sacrifice and fast for a priest to love the Blessed Mother? It's like you would cash in on all the merits of his life. You know, similar in a way that when we invest in a company in the stock market, we get some of its profits. Well, if you pray for a priest to love the Blessed Mother, then I'm sure you're going to get a small percentage of the profits of all the graces that he receives in his life for you, because the spiritual world works like the regular world. My friends, this chapter has been so awesome in motivating us to pray for priests. They go to purgatory too. So do popes, bishops, and religious sisters. And in fact, they usually go there for much longer than us. Pray for these beautiful humans that have chosen to serve God in this way, because they serve us. They're there. They're our lights. We must be light for them as well. God bless you and have a beautiful day.